Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this day is Luke chapter 16. Here again, the part that reads, Abraham said, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." You may be seated. Let me see how many of you have Bibles at home or even on your phone. Look there, another hand went up. Yes, we are all certainly blessed. We have the scriptures in our own language and we can understand in our native language. But can you imagine reading and hearing scriptures in a different language, coming to church and you don't understand a word? And it may be so difficult, so challenging that maybe even some of us would not come. Today, in the parable of the rich man, it is the importance of God's word. The rich man learned that there is no substitute for having and believing God's word. It is a lesson that we need to learn continually. It is a lesson that we need to practice in our relationships with others. For God does not promise to save apart from his word. So let's take our time and look through the parable on the back of your bulletin. For in the parable we have a rich man, right? Clothed in purple. Now purple at the time of Jesus was very expensive. Comes from a gland in a little shellfish. Can't say that. In a shellfish. And we are reminded in Acts chapter 16, verse 14, there was a believer named Lydia from Thyatira who was a seller of purple. And those who sold purple became very wealthy. And we know that Lydia invited Paul and into her home and provided for him. The rich man, he had other clothes as well. He also wore fine linen. Linen like what we dress our altar in. It was also that he feasted sumptuously. He has a gate to his house. How many of you have gates to your house? Well, you might live in a gated community, but gates? No, not for us. And yet he has one for his house. And there's more that we know about the rich man as we travel through this parable. He has five brothers, right? But he's not living in his father's household. He's self-sufficient. And yet we find in this parable that he cares about his five brothers there in his father's house. Not only this, he considers Abraham as his father. And Jesus points out the parable that Abraham calls this rich man his child. Think about this. The relationship between the rich man and Abraham is understood by both, and yet this caring rich man finds himself in Hades, tormented. And when we hear the word tormented, it doesn't mean just the grave. It means hell itself. And there's one more thing. He has no name. You know the importance of a name, don't you? Your name. And some of us even insist on that it's pronounced right. Ugh. In the scripture, we hear the importance of name that were written in the book of life, as we heard in Daniel. But if you are written in the book of life, we know that we are known by God, and to be known by God is to have his eternal life and to be in his presence forever. 1 Corinthians 13, Paul writes this, For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. For I know in part, and then I shall fully know, even as now I am fully known. To be fully known by God, to be known by Jesus. But this man, Jesus, doesn't even know his name. Now it's amazing what happens when people are threatened, right? You have that choice between flight or fight. Oh, this man's a bit more daring. He starts bargaining with Abraham. He has to change his own situation. But did you hear who he asked to go ahead and dip his finger and touch the rich man's tongue? Yeah. That guy that was the poor man that was laying in front of the gate that desired to eat something, even the crumbs from his table. And yet the rich man showed him no kindness. At least the dogs would come and lick his sores. The rich man now thinks this Lazarus is a servant to comfort him. Well, that's not going to happen. Then he bargains with the Lord again. Well, then what about my five brothers? Send someone. Send Lazarus. No. No, says Abraham. Well, then send someone who has come from the dead. And what's Abraham's answer? They have Moses and the prophets. The importance of God's Word. Today we praise God for the work of Lutheran Bible translators, and we are honored, of course, to have Becky among us, who is also a college classmate of Susan and mine as well. Their work is to bring God's Word into the language of the people so that they too would know God's Word, be baptized, and to be known by God as a child of God. This parable is spoken to those who had God's Word. You see, there is this temptation of taking God's Word for granted. I bet you there's a whole bunch of us that have more than one Bible, don't we? Yep. Maybe even more than two. And if you had kids in confirmations, maybe you have three or four. And yet there are many that have none. It is easy for us to take God's Word for granted because we have the comforts of our home. We have our money. We are connected to the right people like the rich man was with Abraham. We could be tempted to take it easy because we have a caring family that surrounds us and a good congregation to go to. We can assume that all is fine because we're baptized and we got everybody confirmed, but that doesn't count for anything unless you have the Word of God for yourself. Oh, but there's one more thing. The Word of God doesn't count unless you have Jesus that this word testifies to. This parable is heard by the Pharisees and they have the Word of God. And yet when Jesus comes into their presence, they reject Him. They fight against Him. They condemn Him to death. Oh, but they won't put Jesus to death themselves. No, we'll let the Gentiles who don't have God's Word put Him to death. And so they hand Him over to Pilate. And the Roman soldiers nail Him to a cross. He was the very Word of God, who if they would have talked to the Romans, if they would have talked to Pontius Pilate, at least would have known who this Jesus was. As we learned in Bible class last week, you remember those words that Satan spoke to Jesus? If you are. And if you read at the end of Luke, you find that the rulers, as they saw the crucified Jesus, begin to repeat the very words of Satan himself. If you are. If you are the Christ, God's chosen one, save yourself. Oh, it's not for believing, is it? But for mocking. These rulers, again, have God's Word. They know the Word. Jesus says to them earlier in John chapter 5, "You search the Scriptures because you think that by them you have eternal life. These are the Scriptures that testify about Me. Yet you refuse to come to Me that you may have life. I do not receive glory from people, but I know that you do not love God, have the love of God within you. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in my town or in my name, you will receive him. How can you believe when you receive glory from others and do not seek the glory that comes from the only God? Do not think that I come to accuse you, Jesus said. There is one who accuses you, yes, Moses, on whom you have set your hope. If you believed Moses, then you would believe me, for you wrote of me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? You remember the rich man said, you know, if you just send a man that's from the dead, that happened. Remember who Jesus raised from the dead before he went to his own death? His name was Lazarus, in John chapter 11. And yet, they continue, as Jesus said in the parable, not to believe him, and to go ahead and crucify him, and to get rid of Lazarus as well. But death could not hold him. Jesus rose from the dead. You see, faith is quite simple. It is simply believing in the resurrected Jesus of God's Word, that he is our only Savior. And yet this same faith is difficult to live. It's hard to love people that aren't like you, isn't it? Who do things that you don't approve of, who make our lives uncomfortable, who desire for them to find some advantage for us. Like the rich man. People brought this Lazarus and laid him at his gate. You deal with him. We can easily judge they are not worthy of our time, our money, our energy. Not worthy of our love. The very love that God has loved us with. So the Lord once again calls me and you to repentance so that we wouldn't be bent on our lives, our stuff, and our comfort. To turn our eyes to the crucified and the resurrected Christ. To turn to his body, the church. To turn to his world. For God so loved the world that they too would be baptized as we, that we together have God's name placed on us. For where God's name is, there he is as well. And God knows this person by name. He knows us by name as well. God's word spreads the reign of the rule of God so that we love others and love others in Christ. We serve others. And they serve Jesus and eventually come to serve us and we serve them. You see, it is the body of Christ working together. Just like your body, right? Your mouth can't get its food itself and so your hand brings it to you, right? You can't make your hands, well, maybe some of you could walk on your hands and make it to the restaurant. But our feet take us there. Maybe you're driving a car built by other people because you didn't build it yourself. Well, maybe some of you have. The church united in one holy Christian and apostolic church. The church knows no color of skin, difference in language and custom. John chapter 1 puts it this way. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was with God in the beginning, and all things were made through him, and without him was nothing made that was made. And the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, from the Father, full of grace and truth. For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The one and only God who is at the Father's side, He has made Him known. And because of that, because of Him, our Lord Jesus Christ, we are known to God. Amen. Now the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
For information about our congregation, for service times and schedule, please visit our website at www.standrewlcms.org. Thank you for listening to Sermons Preached at St. Andrew Lutheran Church in West Fargo, North Dakota, a member of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.